Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, what's up, what's up? You know what it is. It's Elder Prevo. This is the Anointed Truth of Christ Worldwide Ministries. I am your host, Elder Andre K. Prevost, a.k.a. the Black Prince of Preachers, is in the building. It is Men's Day on the Holy Ghost Prayer Line. Praise God. We're getting ready to tap in, hallelujah, with the Holy Ghost Prayer Line and Bishop Mac Page. Glory to God on today. Make sure y'all feel free to call that number. Amen. Those of you listening on Blog Talk, feel free to call that number and give your testimonies today on the goodness of the Lord. Praise God. Right now, amen, before we get started, let me give y'all a little something, something. This is Forgot About Me, hallelujah, because I know y'all did. But
They must have thought I stopped rapping or something.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Here we go.
Seems like they forgot about it, huh?
I'm still the best rapper alive today that I pass. These rappers claim to be king, need to get off the gas. They need to slow down, pump your brakes, you're moving too fast. Because you ain't on my level and you ain't in my class. I'm still one of a kind. God broke the mold when he made me. Then he sent his son, he shed his blood to save me. Now my life don't have to end where the grave be. My game got cola, ain't none of these rappers touching me. I'm killing these tracks, I body these verses. I do it all with no negativity. A cursing. Watch for the snake, cause the enemy, he be lurking. I creep my grass cut, so I see him coming, then I murk him. I can't be imitated, cloned or duplicated. I'm full of that word, and the world can't regulate it. This that holy flow, I'm set aside from the rest of y'all. I'm standing on the word, so you know your boy standing tall.
Seems like everybody
yeah. Forgot about me, huh? It's false prophets on the box, so look on the lookout. And the Pharisees don't practice everything they preach about. See, I ain't perfect by a long shot, but I know who I can call on when the block get hot. You hollering about yourself made, cut from a different grain. You wouldn't be nothing if it wasn't for the lamb that was slain. You like Lucifer, you trying to take all the fame. But no one day, we all gonna have to bow to his name. No disrespect, but Muhammad didn't die for me. Buddha didn't rise from the grave just to make me free. Yahshua, Yahweh, I'm talking Jesus Christ. He came and made a sacrifice with his life. But you on the track trying to take all the credit. Everything you got, you gon' lose if you don't get it. This money make a preacher lose his soul if you let it. The truth being spoken, don't you ever forget it. Yeah. I'm gonna give y'all one more. Listen. They told me curse God and die one time.
What?
I told them they must be out they mind. I said the devil, yeah, he is a lie. Mad at me because I ain't gonna never die. See, Satan hate to see me because I look like God. Made in my father's image, yeah, I look like God. I'm on my Nicki Minaj because I don't want no fraud. But there's a snake in every clique, just ask the Lord. Your boy say he know you, then he'll forget your name. Deny he ever knew you or ever seen your face. And watch the money, man, I mean a man that hold the money. Because he all about the money, he doing something funny. And these preachers all about the dough and the women. I just listen to their word cause they still don't live it. Watch their bread, it's something about it, it ain't right. Study for yourself, ain't no shame to keep your game tight.
Seems like
what it is. Once again, it's Elder Prevost, a.k.a. the Black Prince of Preachers, is in the building. Hallelujah. That was Forgot About Me. That is one of my very first hits. I invite you to go to my YouTube page, the Black Prince of Preacher. Shoot me a subscription. Go down the list. We got sermons on there. We got music on there. We got TikTok on there. We got all kind of stuff on there for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we invite y'all to go out to our YouTube channel. Matter of fact, on every social media platform, look for the Black Prince of Preachers. Type it in. If you see me there with that picture looking fly as I want to look, you know, go ahead and follow. Go ahead and subscribe. Go ahead and send a friend request. Praise God. And I will follow you back. Praise God. I will answer your friend request. Amen. Praise God. I'll go subscribe to your channel. We're going to help those who help us. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to all get to the top together. Like I said, this is the Elder Prevost, a.k.a. the Black Prince of Preachers, and this is the first Friday of the month, and y'all know what time that is. Amen. It's time for the Holy Ghost prayer line. It is Men's Day, hosted by our very own Bishop Mac Page of God. Hallelujah. And this is where men call in and give their testimonies on the goodness of the Lord, how God has delivered them, amen, from all sorts of fornication, from adultery, from living the street life. Hallelujah. Amen. From atheism. Praise God. So we invite you, amen, if you have a testimony, call in. Praise God. Call the number on your screen. Praise God. Amen. Or you can call 774-220-4000, access code 319-2020. Once again, that number is 774-220-4000, access code is 319-2020. I want to remind everybody that the Holy Ghost prayer line is open every day of the week. Praise God. Every day of the week. Amen. At 8 o'clock Pacific time, 9 o'clock Midwest time, 10 o'clock Central time, and 11 o'clock Eastern Standard time. Make sure you give a call in. Praise God. And always get a heavy dose of the Word of God. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So if we eat 3 square meals a day, hallelujah, we need to ingest the Word on a daily basis also. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Without further ado, we're going to go ahead and switch it over at this time to the Holy Ghost prayer line hosted by Bishop Mac Page. I'll be back with you, amen, in about an hour. Praise.
And Lord, give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. And we want to thank you, Lord, for your deliverance. And all thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless y'all. God bless y'all. God bless y'all. Amen. Praise God. Amen. God praise y'all. God praise. God praise. God praise. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, amen, I thank God. You know, I woke up this morning and I was kind of thinking the day was another day, but here it is. This is Friday. Thank God for Friday. And thank God for all of y'all that are here on the line today. We call this Men's Day. Men, a day for the men, amen, to speak up, because the man has been, seemed like he's been put behind. I don't know if the man has been made ashamed, or what is it that has been done, or he's been beat down so bad until he don't want to stand up. Sometime I wonder. Sometimes I wonder about those things that the way things are and the way things that was done against us, and as I've always been against men, I don't know what that is. Amen. Even Pharaoh himself was against men. He wanted to kill the men children for some reason, and even today, it seems like it's always against. And not being prejudiced at anything, but it just seemed like everything is against the black man. I don't know why that is. And no matter what organization, no matter what people, it seemed like that everything is stacked against the black man. And I thought about that for a while, and I said, well, Lord, maybe it's because we are the true children. And it's the reason that everything seems like it's stacked against us. We are the true children of God. That we was first here, and everything else came after us. And maybe that is the reason everything is against us. But, you know, I'm saying to all the men, if God be for us, amen, if God be for us, He's more than the whole world against us, but we want to thrive. You know, I think we just got to wake up, get the men to wake up, and get God on your side. If God is not on your side, amen, we can't make it. So we know the reason that we're making it is because God is on our side. So thank God this morning, amen. Praise God, praise God. I just want to start out this morning. I want to know, you know, this. The line is about being saved, and we want everybody to be saved. That's one of the main reasons we come. We come to give a testimony of where God has brought you from, or what God has brought you through. Mm-hmm. And I know that no matter who you are, God brought you through something, amen. No matter who you are and where you came from, we all been through something. You know, I think about myself. I've been through hard time. I won't call it hard time either. I didn't even know the time was hard. When I grew up, I didn't even really know time was hard. I had a good life. Somebody asked me, said, well, man, you born out in the South. You had a hard time. And I said, no, man. I said, I can't even think about that. I said, even though we was poor and everything, I didn't even know we was poor. I just thought that's the way it was supposed to be. So,
I just thought that's
the way it was supposed to be. I didn't know no different. Being a little child. Growing up in the South, we didn't know no difference. You know, we thought that's just the way things were. So we had no pressure.
Mm-hmm.
We had, even though I was there was no pressure on my life. The only encounter I had with the other side was one encounter when I was about 14 or 15. And I act like I got my knife out and they started running. Amen, because I wasn't going to take no mess. And that's the only encounter I really had growing up as a child. And so God has protected me from even the deep South there that, you know, where everything went on. You know, there's a lot of prejudice going on back in the early, late 50s and 60s, you know, and during my time. But I just thank God that he brought me through. Amen. And so in Psalms right here this morning, Psalms chapter 69 and verse 30, amen. Hallelujah. It says, I will praise the name of God. Psalms 69, verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that has horn and hoof. And so he said, I will praise the name of the Lord, for I will magnify him with the thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox. In other words, the writer of the Psalms is saying here, rather than giving sacrifices of animals, bulls, goats, and animals, let me give him praise. Let me open my mouth and give thanksgiving to the Lord for what he has done for me. God would appreciate the sacrifices of my lips giving praise to him, and the sacrifice of my life giving praise to him more than bullocks and goats. Now, they always offer up sacrifices of bulls and sheep, and they were always doing that. But he said, I will praise the name of the Lord. I will praise. Mm-hmm. See, because God gave man a voice, and when he gave us a voice, and he created us so that we could praise him, so that we could be the exhibition of who he is, to emphasize who he is. And that is what God chose man to do. To emphasize God, to be like God, to give him dominion over the fishes of the sea and the birds of the air. That is what God created man to do, amen. And because God created man for that purpose, then that's the purpose in which the thing that man should do. And so today, you know, we come here today, amen, to give some praise to God for where he brought us from. And not only the things he has done, but the things that he brought you through. You know, if you had hard times or good times or whatever it is, God brought you through those things. And he said God will be pleased if the man would magnify him, would extol him. And so this is where we start today. We come today, and she said we didn't come to preach or whatever. We come to tell what the goodness and the good things that God has done for you. But before we do that, we want to go to Romans chapter 10. We like to always bring in and let us know. We've been talking about this all the week, amen, how that with your mouth, how that you can do things with your mouth, amen, more than the work you can do. Mm-hmm. And there's so many have been having a search for God, and if you've been having a search for God in your heart, if you're on the line and you don't know God, then it's time for you to seek after God because of what God did for you. Amen. And we've been talking about righteousness, how we become righteous. You know, it let us know that righteousness is not out of works. Righteousness is by faith now. You know, back in the day, it was by works of the law, but now it's by the hearing of faith. We got to hear faith. And your testimony and thing come is when you tell somebody about the goodness of God and they see what you have done for them, then they would have faith that God would do that for them. Amen. Romans chapter 10, he said, brother, my heart desire and prayer for God of Israel is that they might be saved. Hey, one of the things he wanted to do, he said, my desire is that they be saved. Now, my desire is that other people be saved. Amen. That's the main desire, and that's God's desire. God didn't want anybody to perish, but he wanted all men to come to repentance. He wanted to bring men back to him because we were separated from him. He wanted to bring us back in relationship with him again. Amen. And so you can, we want to come back in relationship with God. Now, he's talking about, verse 2, he's talking about the people who are trying to get back in the relationship with God, and they're trying to do it the wrong way. He said, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now, that was something that a lot of people want to have a relationship with God. They have a zeal for God, but they don't do it according to knowledge. They go out and want to do it their own way. Amen. And they think their way is the right way. But even Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. And no man comes unto the Father except by me. Praise God. Praise God. Now, because of our wickedness and thing, you know, God didn't want to, you didn't want to come into the presence of God being wicked. So you wanted to be righteous. You wanted to make us righteous again.
What are you going
to
do for us?
To be made righteous, to be made righteous again, amen, because of the fall. God had a plan because he knew that man was going to fall even from the beginning. He knew that man would fall from the beginning. And so he had already did it before the foundation of the world. They said Jesus had already died for us before the foundation of the world, before he started the thing, amen. And then when we saw it come to pass, that was just a manifestation of something took place in the heavens. Amen. Because it always starts in heaven and then comes to the earth. Amen. But let me go on. They being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about trying to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Now, if Christ is the end of the law for everyone that believes, then this is the only way. That there's nothing else you can do to be righteous but believe that Jesus died and arose again on the third day. Nothing else you can do. Nothing else you can do as far as your ability is concerned. And then he goes on and says, for Moses described the righteousness of the law, that a man which doeth the thing shall live by them, that live by the rules of the law. That's what Moses described, live by the rules of the law. But God made a change in it. He said, but the righteousness which is of faith, speak it on this wise. Hold it.
Hey, man, look at this phone. Something's going on with this phone.
Someone called him in. Brother Raven called him in. Amen. Hey.
Oh,
he said, but the righteousness, but he said, the righteousness which is of faith speaking on this wise. Say that the righteousness, this righteousness speaks. It says something. It's telling you something. It's telling you how to get it. It's telling you how to have it. Amen. It's speaking on this wise. It's not saying the same thing that Moses said. Mm-hmm. But this righteousness is saying that the way God has it for us now, you know, is not what was back then that we're talking about now. Now the righteousness of God speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into the heavens? That is to bring Christ down from above. Of who shall ascend into the deep? That is to bring Christ again from the dead. Now, he said, we don't have to go looking for God. We don't have to go up into the heavens no more. We don't have to go to the earth, go down in the depths of the earth or the depths of the sea. We don't have to do that anymore. Amen. You don't have to go looking for it. You just got to believe for it. And that's all it takes. It just takes you believe in God that Jesus died and rose again. He said you can be saved. He made it easy for it. He didn't make it hard anymore. You don't have to bend your back down always trying to find God. He made it easy for you to come to him. He made it easy to bring Jesus into your life. You know, a lot of times we've been out looking for Jesus, trying to, well, I want the Lord in my life. I want the Lord. He said you can get God in your life if he made it easy. It's not a hard thing, but sometimes we make it so hard until it seems like it can't be achievable. But I want you to know you can achieve, amen, God. And God made it so easy for you that everything is near you. You don't have to go looking for him no more. You don't have to go up above heaven and looking for him. You don't have to go beneath. But and to bring him down but look at verse 9. This is how easy that God made it. But what said it? The word is nigh thee and in thy mouth. Now, the word is in your mouth. Now, you got a mouth to speak, amen. God gave you a mouth. That's why he gave you a voice. Say, when you need me to come into your life, all you have to do is call. All you have to do is ask me to come. You don't have to go looking for me anymore. No, somebody said, well, I'm out looking for God. I'm out looking for God. He said, I've been right there all the time. I've been right by your side all the time. I'm invisible, but I'm still there. No matter where you go, I'm there. In the depths of the sea, I'm there. If you go into the heavens, I'm there. No matter where you go in the earth, I'm always just a voice away. That's so easy. I'm just a voice away. Amen. Because I put it right there in your mouth. It's right there in your mouth. The word is, I'm near you. I'm so close to you. I'm so close to you that I'm in your mouth. How much closer does God need to be than be right there in your mouth? He said the word is the word is nigh thee. Now, when we talk about the word, now we know in the beginning in 1 John, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And now he said, All you need is a word. Just put a word in your mouth and ask him. The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. Now he's put it in your heart. God, when he created us to have a need in our heart for him. He wouldn't have made us any different. Amen. He made us to need him. And all that we have to do to have him is to call him. And when we called him, he said, I'm here. I'm here. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Uh-huh. That if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How hard is that? You know, you ask the question, well, how hard is it just a man making a confession to confess God that he believed that Jesus died and rose again? How hard is that? And I know we preachers, we made it hard. And all the do's, and I mean, we tell you, you know, some things you shouldn't do. But in order to bring God on the scene, to bring God in your life, all it takes is a word from your mouth. All it takes is a word of confession that if I will confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart, amen, that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, it did say right then, it said, thou shalt. It's just like you're putting a seed in your heart. Or you put a seed in your heart, it's like putting a seed in the ground. When you put the word in your heart, then the Holy Spirit will move to water that seed. That seed began to produce what you said. They made it easy. And so this is what it's about today. The word is by thee, even in thy heart. That if thou will confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, so with your mind, we'll call your heart to mind. So with your mind, you have to believe something. You put it in your mind. You put it in your mind. You start the word in your mind. Amen. And then your mind is like a ground that the seed gets into your mind. And then that seed will begin to manifest itself. But put the seed in your mind first, amen. Put it in your mind. We call it the heart. Put it in your mind first that you are. And you've asked God, you believe what you asked him, he did. And because you asked him, he did what you said he'd do, because that's what he said he would do. And we have to believe that if I asked God to come in, he came in. Amen. So easy. Amen. He said, with the heart, man believing unto righteousness. Oh, with the mind, man believing unto righteousness. And with the confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, now this is God's written word. Amen. This is God's written word, that the way that he wanted it to be. For the scripture said, now the scriptures is speaking to you, and we got to believe the word. When you believe the scriptures, then we believe God, because the scriptures they said. Amen. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, that God won't make you ashamed. And it don't matter who you are. Amen. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all. The same Lord over all. He's not just over some. God is over all of his creation. So the same Lord. When we say the word Lord means owner, he's the owner of all things and the maker of all things, and he's over all. He's over all of his creation because he created it. I know there'll be gods many, there's lords many, but to us, there's only one God, the Elohim, Jesus Christ, amen, the Elohim, Jesus Christ, only one God, amen. There's no need to have three gods, amen, because God is a jealous. Why would God have a why would God have three gods somewhere and he's jealous? I never thought about it that way. If God is a jealous God, that means there shall be no other God before him. because he's jealous. And so all the other gods that everybody said, you know, they have, if God is jealous, why would he have three of them? He said, I'm there all by myself. There's nobody beside me. There's nobody with me. Amen. I'm God all by myself. And I don't know why everybody tried to make him three or four of them. Amen. Now, there are other gods. Amen. You know, there was the God of the Canaanites and the God of the Moabites. And I don't know what you call them, Molech. And there was some other gods. I can't think of all of them. Antioch or whatever his name was. But there were other gods. But he said, I'm jealous. I don't want you to have no other god before me. And so why would he have three of them? Why would there be three of them and he's jealous? You know, I got my wife and I got one wife, amen, and I'm jealous over her. That means I don't want her messing with nobody else. And I don't want to mess with nobody because I got just that one. See? Very simple statement in it. Amen. And with the mouth confession, for the scriptures say, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever means anybody, everybody, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Amen. And when we go on down, he said, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How can somebody do that? How can they call on him who have not believed? Now, the reason for the testimony of the service today is so that others can believe. The reason you give your testimony of what God did for you so that others can believe. Because others can't call on him they haven't known, but it is up to you to make him known to others. And you make him known to others through your testimony, you give, so that others can hear, because faith cometh by hearing. And somebody got to be talking about it or saying something about it, that he did something. If nobody is talking about it, then how is others going to hear? How shall they hear unless someone speak about it? How did God make himself known? He made himself known when he spoke. He said something. God was there all the time in the heavens because he's invisible, and because of the invisible God, nobody could see him, and they didn't know where he was. And so they couldn't call on him because they didn't know him. But in order to make himself known, he had to speak. He spoke, amen, and it was done, amen. And he said it, and it came to pass. God spoke. If God had never spoke, nobody would have ever known he was there. And so how would man have known to call upon God except that God spoke? And when he said something, he made himself known. And when you speak something and say something about God, now you're causing others to hear and make him known to them. This is what God will do for you. This is what God will bring you through. I was here. I was there one time. And God brought me out of that. Amen. I was a sinner at one time, and I called upon the name of the Lord, and he brought me out, and he brought me into a glorious place. Amen. You're making him known now. And then everybody will say, well, who is this God? Amen. And then all of a sudden, you'll be able to tell them it was Jesus. It is Jesus, the one I called upon. Man, I was hooked on drugs, but he delivered me. I was on the street. But he delivered me, amen, praise God. I was oppressed, but he delivered me, amen. Amen. I was full of death, I was full of the devil, but he delivered me, amen. I was acting a fool, but he delivered me. I was acting crazy, but he delivered me. My mind was messed up, but he delivered me. He delivered my mind, amen. I was a woman chaser, but he delivered me. I was a man, amen, but he delivered me. See, you got to tell others about it, because how shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? Mm-hmm. Now, faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word, not only just God's word, but faith coming by the hearing of your word. Mm-hmm. Because he put it in your mouth. And so he put it in your mouth so you could speak, and so that others can hear, so that they would have faith, amen, for the same God that you believe in. Mm-hmm. For the same God you believe in. amen, not the God of money, amen, and no need of believing in money, because money fails. Money going to fail, amen, and it's going to be soon and very soon. Money is failing already. You can see that they're trying to change everything into a digital currency, so money's failing already. Mm-hmm. And so you can't trust in your money no more because, amen, money fails. You can't trust in, you really can't trust in people no more because people will fail you. Amen. And no matter what else is in this world, you can't trust in because it's temporary. Hallelujah. Thank God that God is an everlasting God. He's from the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning of the end. This is something that's going to see you through all the way. It's not just going to start with you, but it's going to finish with you. I believe in the book of Philippians chapter 2, it said, he that has began a good work in you shall finish it. And so that let us know it don't quit until the work is done. But how are other people going to call upon them? How are other people going to know that God will do something for you? How are other people going to know unless you say something? And most of the time we sit back and, you know, we don't say nothing. And then I was saying yesterday, the cat got your tongue. You know, I know you heard that back in the day, that the cat got your tongue, that he won't allow you to say anything. Or the devil has your tongue that you don't want to confess. The devil has your tongue that you don't want to give a testimony. And back in the Psalmist back there when he said, amen, God will be well pleased with your testimony about him, that you would declare his glory. You would declare his praise. You would declare his power, amen. You would declare his mercy, amen, that his mercy endureth forever. Somebody got to declare that so others can hear that, so others can know that they can now call on the same God that you called upon, and what he did for you, he knows that you will do for them. So how shall they call on him? Verse 14, for whom they have to believe, and how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? Now, how are they going to believe in him they haven't heard? Because faith cometh by hearing. They can't have faith for something. Faith cometh by hearing. And so you need to speak. You need to say something because faith cometh by hearing. Not only does faith come by hearing from somebody else, but faith cometh by hearing of your own mouth. He didn't say what mouth it had to come from. He said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Amen. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. And so that is the main character today. How shall they hear without a preacher? Now, everybody say, well, when you give a testimony, you're preaching. Amen. When you give a praise, you're preaching. Amen. When you sing a song, you're preaching. If you sing a song about the Lord, you're preaching. People are hearing that. And well, you're not a preacher. You can't be a preacher. No, we are all sent here to preach. That's why God gave us a voice, so that you can preach. Amen. And so today, we're going to start out. We're going to give you an opportunity to later on. Somebody might want to be saved after you get through testifying about the goodness of God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And today, amen, I know some of you at work, amen. Is Brother Prevost on today?
Yes, he is.
Amen.
You got a song and a testimony, Prevost?
Yes, sir, I do. Yes, sir. Giving honor to God, everybody that's present on the line today, praise God, hallelujah. You know, I gotta pick parts out of my testimony to testify, because my testimony be so long, I'd be on here all day. But I'm gonna I guess my testimony has always been a little different. I always wanted to have a family. I always wanted to be married and have children. I never wanted to be a player, nothing like that. And in my first relationship, my first marriage, got married straight out of high school. I was with her for 14 years, and then we ended up breaking up. And once we broke up, I tried dating, and I just couldn't. It wasn't dating, wasn't for me. I decided I was gonna be a player. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I learned that when you are called by God, or you have a calling on your life, or you submit to God, that God ain't gonna let you do anything out of His will. When you want your will lined up with God, He not gonna let nothing come between what His plan is. Praise God. Somebody used to say, if you want to make God laugh, tell Him what your plans are. Praise God. So in between marriages, I decided I wasn't gonna do it no more. I wasn't gonna settle down or nothing like that. And the day I decided this, I was like I said, I was dating, and I decided, hey, I'm gonna whatever she did was just too much for me. I said, I can't get involved. I can't put my heart in it no more. Praise God. But then God introduced me to my wife, the wife I have now. Praise God. Hallelujah. So basically what I'm saying is my testimony, God didn't save me out of whoredom. He saved me from becoming one. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because I was on that way. I was fed up with life, fed up with relationships. I was fed up with people. And God brought my wife into my life. And I thank God for that, because the Bible tells us he that finds a wife finds a good thing. And then if we keep reading, it says you obtain favor with the Lord. Praise God. So I thank God for God delivering me from my own self, my own mind, my own way of thinking, because in my way of thinking, it just wasn't working. Like a lot, like I don't know if how many of y'all watch TV or be on social media, but in this world, this generation today, they say it ain't worth, relationships ain't worth it. Praise God, it ain't what it's cracked up to be. 50% of marriages end in divorce and all this other stuff. Praise God. But I thank God for delivering my mind from the way of the world, because I was leaning in that direction. Even though I hadn't been at the time, I hadn't been to church in years. I hadn't been reading my Bible or anything like that. But the Bible said when you raise a child the way that you want him to go, he won't stray. Praise God. And I was raised to do the right thing. I was raised to follow God and follow the principles of God and do what God ordained to do with marriage. He ordained marriage. He said we got to have a help meet. Praise God. Hallelujah. But when I was out there dating, I just couldn't handle it. I feel sorry for people right now that's single, that's out here on this dating scene. It's just not, it's just not it. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I know some people might be saying, oh, well, I don't see the purpose of this testimony. But somebody might be in the same situation saying, you know, it just ain't worth it. But whatever God has ordained, that's something you should be shooting for. Praise God. Hallelujah. Instead of listening to, you know, what the world is saying out here, because the world is corrupt. And they telling us all kind of stuff that praise God, we there's filtering into the body of Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I just thank God today that right now I'm married. We doing good. We happy. Praise God. Hallelujah. And God is in it. I also learned that any relationship, I don't care if it's a marriage, I don't care if it's a friendship, a business, a ministry, if God ain't the head of it, it ain't gonna last. Praise God. If God ain't the thing that's holding it together, it's gonna fall apart. Praise God. Hallelujah. So today I just want to give thanks to God for delivering me from the mindset that I had, that it just wasn't worth it, that it wasn't all it's cracked up to be, and all this other stuff. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I encourage people that are out there that maybe you're single and you thinking maybe, you know, it ain't no chance for you to find that person that God has for you. Amen. You might look up and God might put that person right there in front of you. But you gotta have the faith, like Pastor was saying. If you don't have the faith, and faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you're not hearing the word of God and you're just hearing what this world got to say, about relationships and everything else, then you're not gonna see what God has for you. And as y'all know, another part of my testimony is I was a rapper. I'm still a rapper, praise God. But I was a worldly rapper. I was out there in the world. I was a studio. I wasn't a gangster rapper. I was a studio pimp rapper. What does that mean? That means I was rapping about pimp stuff, player stuff that I wasn't doing. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was on tracks lying. Praise God. I was married. I had children. I was faithful. Amen. But I was rapping about taking your girl, taking your girl, spending your money, and all this kind of stuff. Praise God. But God delivered me from that. I was under the impression that if I wanted to be any kind of successful musician, that I had to follow what was going on with the music in the world. Praise God. And I'm glad God delivered me from that, because like I was telling Bishop Page a few years ago, I would have been in that 50 Cent group when 50 Cent came out. I've been somewhere around that era, and a lot of those guys are dead. A lot of those guys are in jail. A lot of those guys are putting out testimonies of how they were sexually assaulted by men, how they had to perform rituals, and they had to do all kind of demonic stuff just to get to the point where they at. And I can honestly look back. I can honestly look back and say, I'm glad. I'd rather be in the position I am now than to be to have money, fame, and fortune, and would be in the position that they are, praise God, with having to go through all the things they had to go through, praise God. I could have been dead. I could have been in jail. You don't know what will happen to you when you get up. I could have got turned out and became a homosexual or something. You never know what would have happened, what goes on up there in the higher echelon of the music industry, praise God. So I thank God for delivering me from that, and to give me a mind to teach, preach, and perform positive music to help edify people, to help uplift people, to help put people on the right track instead of leading them the wrong way. And I do have a song today off of my testimony about meeting my wife or whatever. God gave me this song. Well, I wrote this song, praise God, hallelujah, and it's a rap song, praise God, hallelujah, amen. And it's about love. It's about God bringing people together, hallelujah, for His purpose, amen. And that's to edify the body of Christ, hallelujah, and to edify the world, period, praise God. So the name of this song is called, if you're wondering, it's a song I wrote to my wife, praise God, hallelujah. So I hope y'all enjoy it. Here you go, praise God.
Yo. In case you're wondering,
TonySwayMusic.com, ChinchillaMusic.net, collabo.
Let's go.
I ain't perfect,
no.
I never claim to,
be.
But even in my imperfections, you still stay with me.
Yeah.
I was thinking that this bachelor life just ain't for me. Then like a gift from God, you appeared to me. On the surface, we weren't what we appeared to be. Then God peeled back the layers, so we both could see. If we gon' make this thing work, then He's the key. Look in the mirror, still don't see what you see in me. And I ain't got the words to tell you what I see in you. But just the thought of losing you, it make me lose my cool. My word is true, it's the world against me and you. And if you ever question if I do, I wrote this song to tell you. If you wonder if I care about you, I just wanna tell you I do, tell you I do. And if you wonder if I need you, why you think I call you my boo, I call you my boo. I know some I put a ring on it, I knew it, I said watch them hate. Telling lies about me, that I'm being fake. They never been in love before, so they can't relate. You got me all in my feelings like my name was Drake. First time I saw you got this feeling that I couldn't shake. To another place, your love take me away. By your side, do or die, this is where I wanna stay. If you wonder if I care about you, I just wanna tell you I do. Tell you I do. And if you wonder if I need you, why you think I call you my boo? I call you my boo. I know sometimes I don't treat you the way a man's supposed to. I do the things I'm supposed to do. So if you wonder if I love you, I just wanna tell you, I just wanna tell you I do.
I do.
In front of the world, girl, I'm telling you,
I'm telling you.
Wondering, like I said, it's just a testimony on how God delivered me from my mindset and showed me, you know, having a wife is a wonderful thing. Praise God. And that's all I have. Praise God. Back in your hands, Bishop.
Well, praise God. Praise God. That he said God kept him from some things. Amen. The thing, the way he was headed, God turned him around. And they said many of the desires of a man, but God directs his steps. And so he had a lot of different desires, but God changed him and directed his steps. So this is what God will do for you. God will direct your step in all your ways. Acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Amen. I want to read another little part out of a Psalms 69. Amen. And this is something, the reason we give a testimony about these things and tell about it, I want you to notice in Psalm 69, amen, and this is a psalm of David, amen. Psalm 69, verse 19, and this is what David is saying right here. He's saying, Lord, thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. My adversaries are before me. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness, and I look for someone to take pity, but there was none. And for a comforter, but I found none. When we think about reproach, you know, we think about being reproached. You know, reproaches is disappointment. You were disappointed in. You were disappointed in life. You went through life and there was disappointment in life. But God brought you through your disappointment, that God brought you through the shame that you had in life. And God brought you through other people disapproved of you, you know, you were going through. And because of this, David is saying, he's saying here, Lord, I was looking for somebody, Lord, to help me with my broken heart. I was broken. Some of you would raise up brokenness, you know, you raise up in brokenness, disappointments, people who you thought had your back. Some of you, your mama didn't have your back, your daddy didn't have your back. Nobody was there for you. And this is what David is saying, that he was looking for a comforter, but he couldn't find none. Amen. And all the things he was looking for, But all of those things are in God, and that's why we have to let people. Yeah, I was raised up disappointed. My dad disappointed me. My mama disappointed me. It seemed like nobody loved me, and I was going through some heaviness. Amen. I was going through all of that, and I was looking for somebody. But here, you know, David wants you to know God is the answer. God will help you in your disappointment. He'll help you in your brokenness. Yeah, yeah. Your wife left you, and you was disappointed, and she cheated on you. You was disappointed, and you were going through the struggles, and you was going through the pain. But God came to your aid, and he saved you. See, these are the kind of things here, you know, that we want to talk about today, amen. All of your disappointment, how you was disappointed, how you was broken, and the reason that you was broken, and how God delivered you through your brokenness, and how you felt unloved, and God got you over that, and how you was you was in the world, but you was lonely, and you didn't have nobody to comfort you, and at the time, you didn't have nobody to take pity on you, so you got on drugs because you was trying to find something to lift you, you're trying to find something to make you feel better, you know, you're trying to find something to be joyful about, you're trying to find life. And so David here went through the same thing, and he writes about it, and he's telling us about his brokenness and how he felt about life and how the enemy was against him. He called it an enemy. Now, we know that today we don't fight against flesh and blood anymore, but we fight against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high place. And they're the one that making you feel like that. But we said today, the word is in your mouth today. You can be delivered today. If you would just tell somebody about it, you can get delivered from it today. If you would just confess with your mouth. Amen. Who's going to be next on the line? Amen. We got a testimony. Is there anyone else? Amen.
Brother Raven,
you still on?
Yeah, you know I'm still on here, man.
All right. We want to hear about your brokenness and where God brought you out, or was it the jailhouse, the crack house, or wherever it was. We want to know where God brought you from, where God brought you from.
Well, it definitely wasn't the crack house. I was born in the 80s, so I'm more or less so glad didn't actually be hooked on it, though. But to be honest with you, after listening to Brother Prevost's testimony, which was a beautiful one at that, I love how he highlighted the fact of boredom, because that's something that we actually have glorified in this generation, and it's being more socially acceptable to have this sexual perversion go on, and the fact that he could come out of that, you know what I'm saying, with a beautiful wife, with still his right state of mind, that's a beautiful thing, man. So, Brother Prevost, big up to you, man. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing to watch. Actual happily black married couple actually stick together and stick it out through the tough times instead of through the bad, and actually grow with each other, you know what I'm saying? So me personally, the testimony that I could say that God has brought me from, well, I would actually speak about the church hurt that I actually felt that had me really bitter inside, that if I had not have had God show me grace so I could know how to give others grace, I would have actually had a seed of rooted bitterness inside of me. And for everybody that do know me, which I'm pretty sure that's that many, I was actually a member of Actual Gospel Church, and I was in the Men of Valor Academy 2 years ago, actually 2 years ago to the day. And I was asked to leave for reasons that I choose not to even mention. But as I was as I left, I was actually hurt and disappointed, and I felt like having to come back to Sacramento was going to be like one of the things that I was trying to get away from. Because prior to that, I had actually tried to commit suicide back in, say, September 14th, 2019. So everything was coming around in full circle. And when you try to do the right thing, you go under something called a fiery trial. And that's exactly what I was undergoing, for trying to do the right thing. And when I was asked to leave, it just hurt me to the point where I was really speaking bad about certain leaders who was in position. And I was just, and that's actually how I met Bishop and Sister Denise. You know what I'm saying? It was through that time that I actually started getting on this prayer line. And they was talking me through. And then that faithful morning, that January at the beginning of 2022, I heard Bishop get on talking about how bad do you want it, and then for a week straight, man, and that was going, it was ringing loud and clear, and I feel like it was speaking straight and sweet. So much so that I actually took a flight and went out there to Dallas to go see him and did my first interview. That actually had a domino effect that got me to on the path that I am right now. But God has been imparting things into me as well as start taking things out. And this has been a very surgical, intricate process that is, I think we all call it sanctification. And the dark times that I was in, it was still my mouth. My mouth was very foul and very hasty towards leadership and towards the people who had made the decision to let me go. And it was it almost grew root. You know what I'm saying? But I thank God that he sent me brothers and sisters like Bishop and Sister Denise, you know what I'm saying? And God, his timing was, it could have been more better, because as I'm thinking it was something that hurt me and I'm thinking it was in a dark place, it actually skyrocketed me out of the atmosphere. I'm in a place where I never thought I'd be in my entire life. From growing up on the streets of Oakland and, you know, going to jail and shootings and, you know what I'm saying, going into a mental institute and coming out of it and to be doing what I'm doing now is beyond anything short of a miracle. So the testimony that I will have is just anybody that has been hurt, and it ain't got to be a church hurt. It could be hurt by a boyfriend, girlfriend, a mother, a family member. If you've been hurt to the point to where you actually have not let go and have forgiven, and I'm talking about true forgiveness, not just saying I forgive. And to show you, I'm talking about this past August 30th was my birthday. I actually went to Oakland and had a meeting with a guy who actually had admitted that she's going to let me go. And we sat and talked for like a whole hour about what I was doing with my life. And he was telling me how proud he was and giving me advice and how to move with my business and everything like that. We actually talked for a whole entire hour. I spent my birthday out there talking to him. That's true forgiveness. You know what I'm saying? And I thank God that he put that on my heart to do that. Because when I left there, I was an angry person, you know what I'm saying? I was angry, and I'm thinking that the system and the things that God had set in place was just totally wrong and against, and I was speaking really bad. And let me tell you something else. Don't ever speak about anybody in a position, because ain't nobody in that position unless God put them there. And when you speak about the position that somebody is in and you speak hasty and you're not praying for that person, I promise you, you'll bring a curse upon yourself, and it'll lead you down a slippery slope that I would pray that you could find yourself in your way out of. But yeah, man, this forgiveness, it's a cancer that spreads not only to you, but anybody who you come in contact with. Your words become perverted. It becomes perverted. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I like to look at it like this. Your heart is the seed and your actions is the fruit. So whatever you're speaking from your heart, man, it's going to trickle and it's going to have an effect to your actions and how you think, move, the way you receive things. And I had a real hatred towards that church. I ain't going to lie, because I felt like they was destroying my life. And little did I know, God was really removing me and answering some prayers that I had prayed a long time ago. Like when I was out there, I was praying that I could get my son, and now I have my son full time. He lives with me, been living with me ever since I left. I was asking him to take me to a place that I never thought I could go. He's actually done that. Since I've left the Men of Valor Academy, I've produced videos. We're actually shooting a movie right now about the Book of Revelation, and I'm doing a soundtrack for the movie that we're going to be putting out at the beginning of the next year. I started my own Be Strong and Courageous Productions Company, LLC, Incorporated, where I'm president and CEO. You know, and, it's just amazing what we think is something that's bad happening to us. God is really removing us. And now that I can sit back and look at the full picture, I can give thanks to the Father. Because sometimes when we know what the plan is, we'll try to figure out ways to try to avoid something. That's why my prayer to God is, Father, use me in ways that I don't even know you're using. Like, straight up, I don't need to know the full plan. Just give me what is efficient for the day. You know what I'm saying? And having full trust in the Father and knowing that he's been God for a long time, so he knows what he's doing. And I don't care what it looks like to us at the particular moment. It don't matter either. Just have the full trust into the Father, man. So that would be my testimony, man, about unforgiveness. You never know what God is doing, man. And it's good that you don't know. It's only asking to give me today my daily bread. That's good enough, and that's sufficient. So God bless our brothers and sisters. I got to get back to work. Finish our trip.
Amen. Thank Brother Raven, Minister Raven, for that word, how God has turned his life around. And he was headed in the wrong direction, full of anger, full of hurt, full of pain. And because of all that hurt and pain, God is continually healing him. I'm sure everything isn't gone yet, but he's breaking through how God is causing him to be lifted up and changing, turning things around in his life, and how sometimes just a simple change will do it. Just a simple change. Something you was doing that was doing wrong. And all of a sudden you realize you was going in the wrong direction. And somebody that steered you in the right direction. Nobody said everything was going to be perfect from the beginning. Everybody thinks sometimes that when you come to God, everything, whoop, it's just going to be over like that. No, that's still a process. If it took you 40 years, if he was 40 years in that thing, it's going to take a little while to get out of that thing. But when you got the right, when God puts you, give you the right mindset, when I say give you the right mind, and when he gives you the right mindset and you start going in the direction of God, you watch things change in your life. Things are changing because you're thinking different. You don't perceive things the same way anymore. You don't look at it the same anymore. When you realize that a lot of things that you went through, God allowed you to go through those things, and because that's just part of the journey to get you where he wants you to be. Because if you didn't learn, see, sometimes you go through things, they said Jesus, I might say that, he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. In other words, he went through something. You know, somebody asked, well, why is the 12th of, you see Jesus at 12 years old, you don't see him until he gets 30. Jesus wanted us to know that he lived just like any other man. And the reason they don't write about that, because that wasn't important. That part wasn't important. He was learning to be who he had to be. He was learning who he was during that time. That was his journey. At 18, from 12 to 30, he was learning what he should be. Because I don't know how he could have learned obedience by the thing that he suffered unless he went through something. Yeah. That means that while he was a child, he was learning something. He had to learn, too, because he was a man. See, everybody think, well, Jesus was he was the Son of God. Well, so are you. Amen. You're the Son of God also. Well, he was born of God. He was born of the Word, by the Word. Well, so are you. Peter said we was born of the incorruptible Word of God, so are we. But he still had to learn something through what he went through. And that is how sometimes God allows to go through things so we can learn things. So when it's time for you to come to the throne, I might not call it the throne, but when it's time for you to come to that place that he wants you to be, then you can now operate. You can have authority in that area. Amen. You can have power in that area. You can have dominion in that area because you have already experienced that. You know not to go back to that because you have already experienced that. Sometimes we say, you know, experience is a teacher. The word is a teacher, but sometimes your experience can be a teacher. And sometimes when we don't listen to the word of God to instruct us and to teach us, God allows us to go through things to allow what you went through be your teacher. Now, Jesus learned obedience, but so that means that Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. So Jesus learned something. But I realize in the Bible, it said, butter and honey shall he eat, that he might know how to choose the good and refuse the evil. And so God has something in his life so that he can learn how to make choices, making the right choices, amen. Is one of the things that we have to do as men, we have to make right choices. Amen. Life is about choice. I set before you good and evil, rich and poor, or whatever. You make your choice of it. And so every place that we are, there was a choice being made. Amen. There was a choice being made whether you started business or whether you went to school or whether you went to college or everything you did, it was a choice that had to be made. And God wanted you to choose life. There's life and death. And Jesus, the only thing, the difference between Jesus, between that 18 and verse 30, he made right choices. See, he had wisdom to make the right choice. And that's the thing that man should get. He should get wisdom so that he can make right choices. Wisdom is the principal thing. And out of all that getting, get a good understanding. And once you get an understanding of life and how life works, you'll be better able to navigate life and make right choices. It's not that the temptation is not going to be there. It's not that the problem is not going to be there. But you just got to make right choices. There's always going to be two things. There's good and evil always. But God left us to make right choices. Now, I know in the beginning you chose what wasn't right. You chose the way of the world. You chose iniquity. But when you change and decide to make the right choices, then things begin to change for you and life began to get better for you. Amen. Is there somebody that made some bad choices in life? You want to talk about it or whatever it is that you have? Who's going to be next?
Well, I haven't made some bad choices in my life. Once upon a time. Sure, I had made some choices in my life, but what you were talking about in the beginning, you know, about life, when I was born and raised, I never, like you said, I never thought life could be like this way. Because when I was born, man, I didn't, I was having a good time when I was born and raised there. Although we had about one room with a big house, but all the everybody slept on the pallet. Mom and daddy slept in the bed. We slept on the floor. And I never paid that no attention. Never did think about it, you know. But as I grew old, you know, I went to start to get on my own. I started when I was 7 years old working. But I used to watch my dad. He would work. You know, I just looked at him. He was sweating. I feel sorry for him, and I wish I could do more for him when I was coming up. But anyway, I just like the way how you pronounce it stuff. You know, because we all how God made us. We were made for the fellowship with God. We supposed to, you know, that's why we are made. God created man to be fellowship. Okay, now, so this you were talking about, by God. See, God, to me, I thought, maybe wrong about it, but the reason God came on this earth to show man that you could live on the earth without sinning. See?
We want your testimony, you know, where God brought you from.
And God brought me from nothing to where I'm at now. God brought me to pig cotton, a drove tractor, and I had no shoes on my feet. I woke up sneaking, got my dad's shoes, and so he brought me, he gave me a chance to get my own stuff. He brought me, I got married when I was 22. He gave me a job, he gave me a job to take care of my family. God had been so good to me about coming up. I never had to ask nobody for nothing. He let me be able to work and do it for myself and took care of my family. I had already done that. See, that's what I'm talking about, girl, how he been to me. But see, because men today, this line should be full of men. What God had brought them through. Because I done done some everything. When I worked, God had brought me through all the mess that I've been in. I done did stuff that I shouldn't do it. God brought me through. You know, I smoked dope. He didn't want me to do it. He stopped me. I smoked reefer, you know. But everything that I was thinking I was gonna do wrong, God brought me. Let me pass through it. He didn't give me thoughts that I shouldn't have. You don't do this. You don't do that. God has been so good to me. I just pray God every day for what he has done for me. I've been married for 62 years. We had problems in our marriage. And God brought me through that on Steve Marriott. I never thought about marriage but one woman. I would never marry again, even if I had a chance. I would never marry no woman but one now. But as I said, God had been good to me all these years. Never had no problem with nobody. He never let me curse nobody. I never had that thing. I said a few bad words, but God, I want you to do you and I do it. You got to want to do this stuff. You got to look. You got to thank God for His grace that He brought you through. I never had to bad no hard time in my life because God had always been good to me. He had brought me through. I mean, just stuff that I thought I wouldn't do, but He brought me through. That's all I can say about God, because He has been good to me. And I ought to say, you know, what God has done to me, because He has been good to me all my life. That's it.
Amen. But thank God, Brother Brian, for his testimony. Amen. I thank God for Brother Brian and myself. Amen. A testimony for him and his wife. Amen. Which is my sister-in-law. Amen. You know, back when I was about 20, I guess probably about 20, and I had lost my job, and I was doing part-time work, and I decided to leave Kentucky and go back to Alabama. Amen. I didn't have nowhere to go, but God made the way for me. Amen. And I went back to Alabama. I was headed to Birmingham. My uncle had invited me to come to Birmingham and I guess to get me a job at the steel mill up there in Birmingham. But I was at home, and Brother Brian's wife came back and said, "Well, why don't you come on move to Mobile?" And I said, "I don't have any family in Mobile." I'm just saying God will put somebody in your way, what I'm trying to say, to help you. And she said, "Well, why don't you come stay with me?" And I said, "I don't know, you know." And so I talked to my mother, and I said to my mother, I said, "Well, mother, you know, I was going up to stay with my Uncle Curtis, but Marie came by and asked me to come on stay with her, and she would let me stay with them until I got up on my feet." And Mama said, "Well, you know, sometimes people that are not related to you will treat you better than your family members." Yeah. I said, "Wow, okay." And so I decided to go to Mobile. I had $100 in my, I didn't have but $100 in my pocket. I did have a car, and I went to Mobile. And to show you how God works, you know, in helping somebody up. When I went there, they treated me just like they should. They gave me a bed, and even with the boys, we was all in the room together. But he opened up his door for me to come in. And when he opened up the door for me to come in, about a couple of weeks, I had a job, you know, and she fed me for 7 years. For 7 years, his wife cooked for me. I mean, until from the time we got to the time we left. She cooked for me every day. She prepared a meal for me, just like she would any of her children. Everything I needed, she provided for me. And even after I got the job, she went next door to them. And when she went next door, she rented a house next door for me. I paid the rent. And they went up and got all the furniture for the house. I paid for it, but she signed filled my house with furniture, 2 bedrooms of furniture, living room, all that. And she signed for me. I did pay for it. I paid for it. But I thought about how when you're in need, how somebody will come along and help you up. I was down at the time, and I credited God, and I credit that God put them in my life to support me from my youth. And I went to work, and and I wanted to become a truck driver, what she was doing, and he used to slip and let me drive, and I've been everywhere with him, all up to the end of the world, I call the end of the United States with him, and he slipping, let me drive, teaching me how to do it. And so I thank God that God put him in my life to help me up. And I appreciate them, and I look at him like a father. So God will, even when you're down, God will put somebody in your life to support you. And at that time, I needed some support. And God put them in my life to help me. And not being related to him at the time, I wasn't married at the time he did it. But I just show how God brought me through something. I was having a hard time and a hard time. But I was in need at that time, and God provided them to help me to get to where I am now. And so I thank God for my brother and his wife. They helped me up in the time of need, and that's what God is, you know. And some of you have been trying to get jobs, and some of you have been trying to find places to stay, and some of you didn't have a home. And at that time, I was just on my way. And so I thank God for Brother Brian and his wife, who, the thing they did to me, and I give my credit to God now, because it was God that helped me, amen. And then after I moved away, and I always talk about Kentucky, amen, that's where I had most of my bad experience in Kentucky, where that, you know, I went to jail and everything for trying to almost killing somebody. And thank God that he didn't die. No, I had the wrong mindset. You know, I had this set in mind that I'm always going to do it to you before you do it to me. And that was my mindset. And then my mindset was always to kill. I had killing on my mind. I didn't bother nobody. And I didn't believe in nobody bothering me either, though. But this time, you know, somebody bothered me. And then they had the nerves to hit me. And then when they hit me, I got so angry that I blanked out, and I started fighting, and I didn't even know what I had done until it was over. And then I came to myself, and I didn't realize that a person can get so angry until he can blank out, and the only thing he had on his mind is to kill. I know that wasn't the mind of God. That had to be the mind of the devil, because that's all I had on my mind, kill it. And we have to be careful. I thank God that God didn't let him die, because I would be in the pen now if the man had died. But God saw fit to save me. And now I can say I was in a horrible place at that time. And so I prayed to the Lord. The Lord spoke to me in the jail cell. So I prayed to God. I say, Lord, get me out of this mess. You won't have no more trouble with me. I didn't make a lot of vows and promises. But I just told him he won't have no more trouble with me. I had sense enough, even though I wasn't living saved and acting saved, but the thing that I have learned in the past, don't make no vow that you can't keep. So I just told God he won't have no more trouble with me. I went to court, and the case got dismissed. And even though I had did it, I was guilty of what they charged me with, assault with a deadly weapon. But God brought me through it. So I don't know where you are today. Maybe you like David said that. I was in a horrible place. I was in a horrible pit. But God brought me out and established my going. And so I can say, truly, I can say God has established my going, because ever since that time, my going has been going toward the Lord. I started that day, said I'm going to change. I want my life to be changed, God. I want to go in a different way. And ever since that time, I've been going in the right direction. It don't mean that I haven't stumbled a few times. It don't mean that I ain't going to try to say I've been perfect all the time. My life has been perfect. I can't say my life has been perfect, because I've endured different things. I had different struggles and different things. I had to overcome things. But all of that, I realized all of that was part of the process. And so a lot of you right now, you may not have overcame everything in your life, but but you're going in the right direction. It's all about the direction that you go, the direction that you hit it. If you continue to look forward, amen, and like Paul said, I'm looking towards the prize of the high calling. If you still got a purpose in life to look forward to something, it'll keep you moving forward. And now because I'm moving forward, I don't have no reason to look back because I saw what was behind me, and now I know what's before me. So there's no need to be going back to my past because I realized my past was not a good place to be. And so now I'm looking for a better future. I'm looking for a heavenly kingdom now. I'm looking for the coming of the Lord now because I'm waiting on him now. I'm just patiently waiting. I know I got to endure some other things in my life. I know I have to go through some other things in my life because I know trouble is going to be with me, amen, until I leave here. Because a man that is born of a woman, his days is going to be full of trouble. And so I know trouble is in my way, amen. I got to cry sometimes. but nevertheless, God has been here to get me through my trouble, to get to me through my problem, to get me through my situation. And God will do the same thing for you. Is there anybody else on the line? Is there another man on the line today? Huh?
It's all the men. It's all the men, Bishop.
All right. Praise God. Yeah. I thank God for that. A lot of men didn't come, but those who came was who God wanted to be. And I'm getting to a place to believe that God knows what he is, and God knows what's going to be. He knows the beginning. He knows the end. And I thank God for it today. Amen. Amen. Thank God for all of the men on the line today. We're not going to hold you up today and keep going and hold you all day. But I thank the men for the testimonies that they gave. It was some that we invited. They didn't show up. And then I don't know why the men don't show up. But nevertheless, the men that was here showed up. And God is here. The good thing about it, I know God is here. God is on this line today. Amen. And I know he's been on this line ever since we started this line, and Denise called it the Holy Ghost prayer line, and that's what it's been about. And in today's life, you know, one thing for sure, you need some help. And God said he'll give you the Holy Spirit to be a helper to you. Amen. It will be a helper. It will come near. Let's turn to the book of Saint John, verse 16. Amen. Saint John, 16:5. Amen. Thomas said unto him, St. John said, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou go, and how can we know the way? A time when Jesus is letting them know, I'm getting ready to go off the scene now. I'm getting ready to leave you right now. And so I'm going back to the Father. And Thomas didn't know exactly what Jesus was talking about. Well, where are you going, Lord? I know you say you're leaving. Where are you going? And how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way. To where I'm going, Jesus is saying, to where I'm going, I'm the way. The way I'm going, I'm the way. When you say I am the way, that means there's no other way. And so he's letting Thomas know, I am the way. Thomas, you've been with me all this time. By now, you should know. But Thomas hadn't caught on to it, amen. He didn't know where Jesus was going. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we read that scripture all the time, you know, that we want to get back to the Father. Jesus is the way. I like the song that Prevost had. He had one of the songs, Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is on the way. And we got to keep saying that Jesus is the way. out of all the things that you're coming out of, you want to get out of, that Jesus is the way. Amen. He's the way out of this world. You see, the thing about it, you see, we want to go out of this world. We're in the world, but want to get out of the world. And so the way you get out of the world, Jesus said, I'm the way for you to get out of this world. I'm the way for you to get out of this, the devil's kingdom into my kingdom. I'm the way. I'm the way back to the Father. I'm the way that's going to connect you back to the Father again, because I'm the connection. I'm your mediator. And so Jesus is our mediator. He stands between us and God. And the only way you can get to God is you've got to go through him. He's the mediator of the New Testament. He's the mediator of the New Covenant. And the only way you can get into the New Covenant, you have to come through him. Amen. Because he came to establish the covenant of God, to be the mediator of the New Covenant. And so if you're going to come into covenant of God at any time, then he said, I am the way. This is how you get back to the Father. You've been separated from him, and now you want to be joined together with him again. Now I'm the way. Amen. Now, maybe in the old times, the way you talk to the Father, you have to go through the priest, the high priest. You have to talk to the Father. You go to the high priest and you talk to him, and then he would mediate the things to God. But Jesus is now our high priest. We tell him what it is, and he tells it to God. Man can approach God on his own, and so man has to have a way to be able to approach God. And so now Jesus is saying, I am the way, amen, the truth and the life. If you had known me, you should have known. He said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also from now on. Now here he says, from now on. You have not known my Father, but from now on. See, right now, he said, from now on, you have seen. You have known my Father. From henceforth, you shall know him and have seen him. And so Jesus was expressing here that from now on. Now, the way it was back then was a little different than it is at this time. He said, from now on, you want to know him, but you want to know him through me. You want to be connected to him through me. And so that's why he said, from now on, that means right here he was changing the way that man did things. The way they did it in the old wasn't going to be the way it to be done now. You know, back in the old covenant, you know, it's the priest that went in once a year and offered sacrifice. But now Jesus said, now I'm turning the tides. I'm changing the way. I'm changing the way. Under the old, it was under the law, but now I made a new way. And I talked about that new way in the beginning in Romans chapter 10, that now the way is through your mouth and through your heart. This is the way he does it now. If you believe in him, amen, and then it's through the way of your mouth and know your heart that you now can connect to God. You can connect to God through words, amen. And Philip said it to him, from now on, you know him and have seen him. I have expressed him. Philip said it to him, Lord, show us the Father and suffice us. Jesus said it to him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou, show me the Father? Now Jesus is expressing right here, now, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because I am the expression of the Father. Mm-hmm. I came to bear the express image of the Father. If you notice that in the book of Isaiah, I can't think of exact scripture now. Oh, Lord, it slipped my mind. But in the book of Isaiah, amen, somewhere around 43, somewhere in there, that God was saying, there's no God beside me. Who can be equal to me? God was saying, who can be equal to me? Denise, can you find that? Well, God said in Isaiah, who can be equal to me? And I thought about that scripture, who can be equal to me? That there's nobody like me. But yet Paul says in the book of Philippians, amen, chapter 2, I believe, he thought it not robbery to be equal to the Father. And I said, well, Lord, you asked the question, who can be equal to you? And then and Paul writes in the book of Philippians, I think chapter 2 somewhere around verse 7, right in that area. He was saying, who can be equal to you? But here Paul writes that Jesus was equal to the Father. And yet over in Isaiah, he said, nobody can be equal to me. If nobody could be equal to him that he spoke in Isaiah, and then Paul writes in the book of Philippians that he thought it not robbery to be equal to the Father when God has said nobody could be equal to him, then that lets me know right there, Jesus was the Father. Jesus was the Father because he said nobody can be equal to me. And yet Jesus is expressing here that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And yet over in Isaiah, before he came, he had said nobody can be equal to me. Then it lets me know that Jesus is God. Jesus is the Elohim. He's the Father of spirits. Amen. Did you find that scripture for me right quick? Ephesians.
Isaiah 40:25.
What does it say? No man can be equal to me.
It says Isaiah 40:25.
Yeah, read that. I know you're quick on the gun. You can run right back.
This is the one. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal? Said the Holy One.
Yeah. He said, to whom? Read that a little louder so they can hear.
To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, said the Holy One?
Yeah. So he's asking the question, to whom? So that means there's nobody else that can be equal to me. That's before Jesus get here. And so when Jesus made that expression there John 16, he was saying, if you see me, you've seen the Father, because I'm equal to him. And you go in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, that's where it's at. Verse 6, he's saying right here, whom being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So if it says back there that nobody else could be equal to him, that means Jesus was God himself. Because he said nobody can be equal to him. And yet Paul says that he was equal to him, that he was the, and Paul always said he was the express image of the person of God. The express image of the person of God. And so here Jesus is saying,